Jibreel of all the prophet's speech of Almighty Allah, which is the Quran. The best guidance is the course of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is his Sunnah. The worst of all affairs is innovation and addition to the religion of Islam. Indeed, every addition to the religion of Islam will lead to hellfire. I adjure you as well as myself to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of your ability. Fear Allah and don't die unless you are Muslims. After this, I greet you all with the greeting of Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and the blessing of Almighty Allah be with you all. I'd like to welcome all of you for our third class in Tafsir Surah An-Nazi'at, Surah number 79. Although we had finished the Surah previously, but what we've been doing for the last 2-3 classes, we're reading the Tafsir of Sheikh Muhammad bin Salih Al-Uthaymeen Rahmatullah Alayh. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send mercy in his soul. And today we starting with verse number 1. The last thing we talk about, the miracles that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given to the prophets. And each prophet that Allah give him a miracle which agrees or match the time that he was in. Give example, the prophet Musa alayhi salam, Allah give him something similar to compete with what's going on the society in that time, which was the magic. Time of Isa alayhi salam, the people were so advanced in medicine and healing, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Isa alayhi salam the ability to heal the people without medicine by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even beyond this, that reviving the dead, that he will talk to the dead person and ask him to come out of his grave, and the person will come back to life by the will of Allah. So this will be beyond any kind of cure or medicine that ever took place by mankind or in that time. Also, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came in a time which was the main issue there, is that the language, how to deal with the language and how to make poetries and how to be very clever and be able to utilize the language. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him with the Quran, which was competing with all kind of books or articles or poetries or anything that they write in that time. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the challenge not only for the mankind, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the challenge even for the jinn. And Allah told them that if the jinn and mankind get together to produce a book similar to this book, they'll never be able. So now what happened? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away. Those Arabs are not exist anymore. Can the Quran stand for a challenge today? Of course. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intend for the Prophet Muhammad to be the last prophet. There is no prophet coming after him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intend for his message to be the last and the final message. There is no any message, no revelation coming after the death of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Therefore, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him this Quran, he was not a Quran or a book to challenge the people who sitting or living in his time only. It is still a mu'jiza and a miracle to challenge even the people living nowadays. So the challenge is not in the book itself. The challenge is what is the book contain. As example, you read one of the verses in the Quran which can be applicable to our society nowadays. we can see how people became so clever and so intelligent and using computers and DNA and all kind of stuff. Allah, if you look in the Quran, you found Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ ضُرِبَ مَثَلٌ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ لَنْ يَخْلُقُوا ذُبَابًا وَلَوْ اجْتَمَعُوا لَهُ وَإِنْ يَسْلُبْهُمُ الذُّبَابُ شَيْئًا لَا يَسْتَنْقِذُهُ مِنْ ضَعْفَ الطَّالِبُ وَالْمَطْلُوبُ. O mankind, so Allah didn't say here, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Okay, this in Surah Al-Hajj, if I'm not mistaken. Allah didn't call and say, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, but Allah said what? يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ. So here that speech is directed to all mankind. Doesn't matter if the Arab or non-Arab, if the Muslims or non-Muslims. It's a challenge for everybody. And more challenge for those who deny the Islam, those who deny the Quran, those who reject the Prophet ﷺ. This is the challenge. If you think the Quran is not true, if you don't think that Muhammad is messenger, if you don't know this is the final, so now meet the challenge. This is the reason Allah is saying, Ya Ayyuhan Nas. So when Allah calling saying, Ya Ayyuhan Nas, He calling, getting the attention of everybody. And when Allah is saying, Ya Ayyuhal Ladina Amanu, now the khitab and the addressing for the believers only. Okay? As Allah say, Ya Ayyuhal Ladina Amanu, Kutiba alaykum as-siyamu kama kutiba ala al-ladina min qablikum. Allah didn't address mankind with fasting. Allah will address mankind with the tawheed, to believe in Him first. But the Muslims are already Muslims, so Allah said to them, Ya أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامِ. Fasting been ordained for you, has been ordained for those before you. But when Allah is talking to everybody, now Allah is saying, Ya أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ. Allah is saying, ضُرِبَ مَثَلٌ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ. Example been brought forward, so listen to it carefully. Okay, says indeed those you invoke or you call beside Allah, whosoever, Mother Nature, Jesus, whatever that you believe to be your support, your power, your mighty, those who call, and instead of calling in Allah you call in somebody else, said, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ لَنْ يَخْلُقُوا ذُبَابًا. Those that you calling on them other than Allah, they are not able, لَنْ. And لَنْ is an article to dedicate things in the future. To say, they are not going, they are not willing, they are not capable. Not yesterday, not today, not even tomorrow. Okay? They are not going to create a fly. So here is the challenge. Where in our book? Okay? It say, this verse, take it to China, take it to America, take it to Russia, take it to anybody. And tell them, if you want to refute the message of Islam, create a fly. Doesn't matter if you are an individual or a society. All what you need, challenge one verse. So it's not a matter of writing something and say, I made a book. There is a lot of books. Huh? And when you go to school, every semester you get about 10-15 books. Alright? But it's not what book is, what is the information in the book. So now we asking anybody today who challenge Islam, all what you need to disapprove, one verse. Create a fly. They created and made up and put together spaceship. They did all kind of things. They record you, and like you say, they can record your license plate. You're driving in the highway, and you can be in America, and you're driving in Iraq or wherever it is, and they can get your license plate. We heard all this stuff, okay? It's fine. And amaze the human being when they hear things like this. They can tell you what you eat and what's in your house, what's in your wallet. All this. But we ask them, can you create a fly? They challenging each other, like North Korea and South Korea, and they keep competing with each other. Ask them, forget about all this stuff you're talking about. Can you create a fly? And subhanAllah, Allah choose something very small. Very small. Can you imagine if Allah asked them to create an elephant or a camel? A fly. لن يخلقوا ذبابة. Allah says they are not going to be able to create a fly. And in addition to this, another challenge. All this in one verse. وَإِن يَسْلُبُهُ الذُّبَابُ شَيْئًا لَا يَسْتَنْقِذُهُ مِنْ. If the fly takes away something out of you, if the fly land in your food and takes something out of your food, you could not get it back. You could not. Even if he catches a fly and you kill it, you could not get your food back. And even if you take the legs and whatever and you try to squeeze it and get this food out, it's not the same food anymore. Chemicals had to change it immediately as soon as it came in. You see? So now it shows you how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a miracle which is going to be forever. Because today if you come, we're talking about the story of Musa. He says that Musa put his hand like this in his bucket. When he bring it out, it's not one dark and one light. Huh? Look to your hand, you find the different colors. But Musa put his hand like this and bring it to Pharaoh, looks white. No defect, no problem, no any spots. This is a miracle. But nowadays, if you ask somebody, show me the stick of Musa, show me the stick, the hand of Moses, you could not show it. Okay, we have a lot of people in the hospital. Where Isa, alayhi salam, to come nowadays and say to them, Bismillah, and he became healed. We don't have this. Huh? So every messenger, because he was for a local community, for a temporary time, Allah made his miracle to be what? Local and temporary. So when the Prophet died, the miracle goes with him. But the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam died, but the miracle didn't go away. The miracle remained. Why? Because this is the final revelation. So since the message has to stay forever, the miracle has to remain forever. For anybody who will come and want see it, tell him, here, read it. You see? So now, for somebody want to disapprove Islam, all what they need to challenge a verse like this. No way. How the Islam talks about the development of the child in the mother womb, as example. So many things, which is not our subject now to talk about it, but this what we discussed last week about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave every prophet something matching his time. And what Allah had given the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a miracle is something to challenge his time and the time that comes. Why? Because the messages of Islam is not for Arab only, neither for Mecca only, but for all mankind and for all places. So the miracle have to stay forever, which is what is the Quran. One of the main miracles that which in the Quran itself, okay, because we're talking about فَأَرَاهُ الْآيَةَ الْكُبْرَى. He showed Pharaoh the great sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَى وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. Indeed we had sent the Quran and is upon Allah to protect it. Nowadays, look to any book, any revelation, if it still exists. Let's, as example, talk for a moment about the Bible. How many versions of the Bible, anybody know, that in existence nowadays? Two? No. You can say 20 very easy. You have the King James, you have Jerusalem Bible, you have the Mormon Bible, you have the Jehovah Witness Bible, name it. But how many Quran do you have? Wherever you go, who printed, where printed, is no way you can have two Quran. No way. You can get a Quran from India and a Quran from Arabia and open a certain page, a certain number, and look, it has to be the same word. This itself is a challenge. Allah said, I reveal it, I will take care of it. I'm not going to let it happen like what happened in the other books. I will take care of it, make sure that will be preserved forever. Can somebody come today and show us two Quran? No way. You may come with a different translation like Yusuf Ali and Maulana Akbar, and after this Noble Quran, one say exit, one say a door, one say gate, still giving different same, almost the same meaning, but this is translation. Quran is the Arabic. Inna anzalnahu Qur'anan Arabiya. Indeed, we reveal it an Arabic Quran. You could not found two Quran. It's always one Quran. The Quran is what is written in the Arabic. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about what happened with Musa and Pharaoh, and he showed him the great sign. فَأَرَاهُ الْآيَةَ الْكُبْرَى فَكَذَّبَ وَعَصَى ثُمَّ أَدْبَرَ يَسْعَى. So what happened now? Now Pharaoh became what? Going crazy. He's going crazy now. So what he did? He said فَحَشَرَ فَنَادَ فَكَذَّبَ وَعَصَى ثُمَّ أَدْبَرَ يَسْعَى فَحَشَرَ فَنَادَ فقال أنا ربكم الأعلى فأخذه الله نكال الآخرة والأولى. Go back again to the tafsir of Sheikh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen رحمة الله عليه. وعصى الأمر, that means he disobey the order of Allah by not listening to the Prophet Musa عليه السلام. He didn't follow the Sharia and the teaching. After this أدبر يسعى, i.e. he turned away and he ran. فَحَشَرَ فَنَادَ, he gathered the people, he went to get the community, the people, like he's scared, because if the people start to hear about Musa, they're going to see. فحشر, he gathered the people and he called in them with a loud voice to turn them away from what is Musa going to tell them. And he said to them, أنا ربكم الأعلى, I am your Lord the Most High, i.e. no one is above me, because الأعلى from العلو, okay, the Most High. The Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi saying, فانظر, look how Fir'aun became so arrogant, and he claimed for himself what is not belong to him by saying, I am your Lord the Most High. He used to be proud with the rivers that runs under his palace, okay. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroy him with the same water, with the same rivers, instead of going beneath the palace, he make it to go out over the palace. Instead go under his feet, it ran over his head and drown him. So how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make a means of enjoyment can be a means of destruction? You see? How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make the same food that you eat, and the same money that you use, and the same thing you have to enjoy, enjoyment can be a means of destruction for you if you did not learn this from Allah, and Allah give it to you to use it for His cause. He said, يا قوم أليس لي ملك مصر وهذه الأنهار تجري من تحتي أفلا تبصرون. O people, am I not the king of Egypt, and this river goes beneath my place? Why you don't see? Who's better, me or Musa? I'm rich, he's poor. I talk very good. Musa has a problem with his tongue, they could not even talk straight. Which one you going to listen to? Which one you going to obey? You guys, you don't have mind to think? I'm rich, I have balance, I have the power, I have the army. What Musa has? Musa has nothing. Okay? So he tried to now work this common sense and play in their intelligence and telling them, okay, look at you. Even you judge it yourself. This man could not even talk straight. How are you going to listen to him? I am the king of Egypt. I raised him in my house. What are you talking about? So what happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala drowned him with the same water that he was bowed that runs under him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the kingdom of Egypt go to the children of Israel. which he used to take advantage of them. The poor people, the weak people, that Pharaoh used to oppress them and take advantage of them, Allah makes them the one who live after him, and the one who inherits the land, and the one who used to say, I am your Lord the Most High, he's dead and drowned. You see how things can change? It takes time sometimes, but does not have to be go forever. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives time to people. They may change, they may believe, they may repent. But if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his order, his command comes, this will be it. And Allah will change things. Now the poor and the weak people, now they became the ruler of Egypt. فَأَخَذَهُ اللَّهُ نَكَالَ الْآخِرَةِ وَالْأُولَى. Allah took him, seized him very bad. نَكَالَ الْآخِرَةِ وَالْأُولَى became a ibra, became a lesson for his time and for the people until the day of judgment. Every person reads the book of Allah, he will get to know about the news of Fir'aun and what happened to Fir'aun. So Allah made the story keep going, generation after generation. Everybody opens the Quran, he will read about the king of Egypt, the Pharaoh, how he transgressed, and how Allah. So the lesson was there for the soldiers, for the believers and disbelievers, and also made it to be a remaining lesson for those who come after him until the day of judgment. Indeed, there is a lesson in this, how Allah destroyed him, although he used to be the king and the great person among the people, and how Allah humiliated him and make him so small, nothing. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَعِبْرَةً لِمَنْ يَخْشَى. Indeed, in this, what had happened from sending Musa to Pharaoh, the debate that happened between Pharaoh and Musa, the arrogancy of Pharaoh, and not listening to the Prophet of Allah, this is a ibrah and lesson to those who fear Allah. Those who have fear of Allah, they will think about what happened to Musa and what happened to Pharaoh. They will think about the result, and he will learn a lesson. What is the lesson? That we have to follow the way of the Prophet. Stay away from the way of the kuffar. There is many lessons in the story of Musa. By reading the Quran, you found little bit here and little bit there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the story of Musa in many, many surahs in Quran. In some surah like Surah Taha, you found some part of the story. And in another surah, you found another part of the story. So by reading the Quran, you will get the totality of this story, and you will learn about what had happened. As example, we should learn about the da'wah, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say to Musa and his brother Harun, فَقُولَا لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا. Say to him an easy, soft word. You see? So when we read in Surah Taha, we learn how Allah teaching Musa and to talk to Pharaoh. Musa is a believer and a prophet, Pharaoh is a kafir. But Allah tell him, talk to him, give him a good word. Don't go tell him, you stupid, dumb, you see you're going to hell fire. You are kafir, you are disbeliever. Allah know about Pharaoh, but he still tell Musa to what? Talk to him nicely. Be gentle to him. Give him an easy word, okay? Although that he's an arrogant, a filthy person. So we see the result. Also, when we read in other surah, we can see what happened to Musa when he left Egypt. He was afraid, because he knows that they are about to kill him. The same thing happened with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he left Mecca also and made his migration. He left scared, and he knows that the people looking for to get him, to kill him. But look, what was the result for brother Musa, for Prophet Musa and the Prophet Muhammad? How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, both of them, they escaped. Musa escaped from Egypt and the Prophet Muhammad escaped from Mecca. But how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them a safe journey, and how Allah protected them, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfilled their mission later on. How Musa, he went, he got married, he came back as a warner and a messenger. How the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to Medina, became a big government, their Islamic government, established after they used to be persecuted in Mecca. So we always can see, listen, what is the end, what kind of end that Allah gave it to the da'wah and the people of da'wah. But the result of what happened to Musa alayhi salam, as the result of what happened to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And as for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, was his action, the sacrifice of the Sahaba. As for Musa, Allah did it himself. You see, Allah destroyed his enemy. But the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he went to him and his Sahaba, and they gained this victory with their hand by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we can see the lessons in all these things. After this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shift the verses to something totally different after he discussed the story of Musa, by saying in verse number 27, أَأَنْتُمْ أَشَدُّ خَلْقًا أَمِ السَّمَاءِ بَنَاهَا رفع سمكها فسواها وأغطش ليلها وأخرج ضحاها والأرض بعد ذلك دحاها أخرج منها ماءها ومرعاها والجبال أرساها متاعا لكم ولأنعامكم أأنتم أشد خلقا أم السماء. This is a question not to receive the answer, but to affirm, to confirm and to affirm some information which is the reviving after death. That because the mushrikeen of Mecca, they deny the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they deny the resurrection after death, and they said, مَنْ يُحْيِي الْعِظَامَ وَهِيَ رَمِيمٌ, who's capable to revive the bones after it turned to dust. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in answer to those people who rejected the day of judgment and the capability of Allah to revive the dead, Allah gives them this question, told them, are you more stronger or the sky? أَأَنْتُمْ أَشَدُّ خَلْقًا أَمِ السَّمَاءِ. Are you more difficult to create, or is the heaven that he constructed? He raised its height and has perfected. So if you deny resurrection, why you don't look to something greater than your creation, which is the heaven or the sky, السماء. So Allah questioning the kuffar of Mecca, telling them, you denying resurrection after death? Who's more difficult to build? Who more sophisticated and who more bigger? You or the construction of the sky? The answer is well known. Everybody knows that the answer, that the سماء, the heaven, the sky is more difficult or more greater. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Ghafir, لخلق السماوات والأرض أكبر من خلق الناس ولكن أكثر الناس لا يعلمون. Indeed, the creation of the heaven and the earth more sophisticated and more greater than the creation of man, but most of the people doesn't know this. Okay, Allah telling us the creation, because he's the creator, he knows what he did. He says the creation of the heaven and the earth is much greater than creation of man, more difficult, more sophisticated, but most of the people doesn't know this. After this, say banaha, he says there is no relationship between the word and what's before. This like a new start, say banaha, constructed. Therefore the reciter of the Quran, he should make a stop when he recites, not to say the whole verse together, not to say أَأَنْتُمْ أَشَدُّ خَلْقًا أَمِ السَّمَاءُ بَنَاهَا. They say you're supposed to stop after what? السماء. Because there was a question, are you more difficult or the sky, the building of the sky? This is gone. After this Allah said بَنَاهَا, he constructed the sky. رفع سمكها, so this what he did, the building, the raising, okay, darkness, all the things Allah created. The sky, he built the sky and he make it so high you can stand up, or you can stand in a chair, or you can even go on the aeroplane. You can even go on what you call a spaceship. You still keep going up, 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 you could not reach. Subhanallah. They give some figures, how many millions and millions of years, and they guess it. But as far as they can go, we don't know that any human being until now reached to the sky. Okay? Other than the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, been taken by the order of Allah. Okay, but we understand that the jinn had reached, okay, to a close destination to the sky, and they used to spy on the angels before the coming of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But with the coming of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah made the missiles, the stars, to be ready. Any shaitan come to start to spy, stealing some information, right away the stars will go and shoot him, burn him. Okay? So وَأَنَّا قُلْنَّا نَقْعُدُ مِنْهَا مَقَاعِدَ لِلسَّمْعِ فَمَنْ يَسْتَمِعِ الْآنَ يَجِدْ لَهُ شِهَابًا رَصَدًا. Before we used to sit in a close distance and listen and spy the angels talking. But whosoever, now the jinn talking, in Surah Al-Jinn, talking to each other, say, and whosoever try now to spy, to be dark. Laylaha, the night of it. Okay, of the sky, to be dark. As he said in Surah Al-Isra, وَجَعَلْنَا اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارَ آيَتَيْنِ فَمَحَوْنَا آيَةَ اللَّيْلِ وَجَعَلْنَا آيَةَ النَّهَارِ مُبْصِرَةً. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying in Surah Al-Isra, we made the day and night as two miracles, two signs. We removed the sign of the night and we brought about the sign of the day. Very clear and obvious how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the darkness disappear and the light comes. Okay, so both of them, the night and the day, are two signs of Allah, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make one go and one come, one take the place of the other. You don't see the other there, and how it came and how left. This is the work of Allah subhanallah, and how he make it to cover every spot and make it dark. This is the work of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In addition to this, he say wa akhraja duhaha, causing the sun to rise in the sky. Rise and sits. Rise and sits.
وَالْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ دَحَاهَا,
i.e. after the creation of the heaven and the earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala دَحَا الْأَرْضِ. Dahaha. The Shaykh rahmatullahi alayhi is saying Daha been explained by the following verses:
Akhraja minha ma'aha wa mar'aha.
It caused the water and the vegetation to come out of it. Okay? So the earth was created before the sky. As he said in another surah Fussilat,
قُلْ أَإِنَّكُمْ سماوات في يومين.
I think sister Nusrat, you had asked me about this verse before, is it? You remember about the creation of the heaven and the earth, which one was first? It didn't come in Surah An-Nazi'at, but it came in what? In Surah Fussilat. And this is the reason I'm saying that any time that we want know the right about something, what is the understanding of something, that we have to bring all the verses that related to this issue. Okay, you could not take one verse and say this is what Allah is saying. As example, you can look to the wine, khamr, drinking. You may find one verse that say, they ask you, O Muhammad, concerning wine, tell them there is a great sin in it and some beneficial for people. So somebody says, so Allah says that there is a beneficial, I can sell it to make money, and I'm not going to drink it, and I'm going to sell it only to the kuffar. But because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dealt with the human nature and how wine and drinking was very bad habit that so rooted with those people, so Allah, out of His mercy, He took it to stages. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took it to stages. So if you take one verse related to the drinking, you may be selling wine or drinking wine. But when you put the three verses together, now you know that it's totally forbidding. You understand? So sometimes we see, as example, Surah Musa, which we're talking about. He found part of it in Surah Al-Nazi'at. But he found another part of Musa's life in Surah Taha. And you continue like this through the whole Quran. So if you want to write the story of the Prophet Musa, now you need to study in the Quran and take from here and here and here and put all of them together. Now you know that Musa, the story is a part of his lifetime when he was a baby, the nursing period, being raised in Pharaoh's house, how his wife convinced Pharaoh not to kill him and for him to live, how he killed the Egyptian guy, how he ran away scared, how he went to Midian, how he got married, how he received the revelation, how he became a prophet. He found it here and here and here. So in Surah An-Nazi'at, it tells us about the creation of the heaven and the earth. And also in Surah Fussilat, tells us that Allah created the earth first, and after this Allah created the heaven, and after this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala constructed or fixed the land to be a way for us to be living, okay, by making water coming out of it, vegetation and things like this, okay. But the earth as a whole been created before what? Before the sky. وَالْجِبَالَ أَرْسَاهَا, that means made it stable, the mountains on the earth. No wind can blow it away, and also to be like nails to keep the earth not to be shaken, okay. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us about all the things, the building of the sky and the water and the earth and all the things, they say what? مَتَاعًا لَكُمْ وَلِأَنْعَامِكُمْ. Why did Allah do all this? For enjoyment for you. Who we are, how Allah cared for us. Because you understand, sometimes the Christian keep telling you there is nothing about love in Islam. There is no relationship, personal relationship between you and God. Allah telling, look, like I understand, you see, look, I love you. But if you don't say the word love, you don't. But I can be buying everything for you, making everything nice for you, and after this I don't love you. Allah did all these things, and they say mata'an lakum wa li'an'amikum, enjoyment for you, I'm taking care of you, I care for you, alright, I made a earth, I made a sky, I make mountains, okay, and I made water, I made vegetation coming out of it, and all this for what? Enjoyment for you and for your cattle. How the cattle enjoying? Yes, the cattle enjoy it for a little bit, but still the cattle also what? For our enjoyment, our own use. You ride, you get the milk, farm, huh? So basically everything is for us. Everything in the creation is for man. And man, Allah created him for one, which for himself, not because Allah need him. Okay? So Allah made everything for us. And He told you, only make, now make yourself for me. Okay? So don't go take some of Allah's creation and love it more than the Creator. Because He's the one who made it for you. And don't get busy with the things to such a degree that you forget the giver and the creator. Is very bad. You see? So again Allah is saying about all this, he said what? مَتَاعًا لَكُمْ وَلِأَنْعَامِكُمْ. For you to enjoy yourself, to eat, to drink, for your cattle, the camels, the cows, the sheep, all the things, to bring milk for you, and for us to make business and to have money. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminding His creation and the people about His favor upon them, this is for us to recognize His ability and His power and His mercy. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the same time, after He telling us is the enjoyment for you and your cattle, Allah, He didn't leave us like this. He wants to let us know that there is appointment and there is a purpose. Okay? What it is, He tried to remind them about their journey by saying, فَإِذَا جَاءَتِ الطَّامَّةُ الْكُبْرَى يَوْمَ يَتَذَكَّرُ الْإِنسَانُ مَا سَعَى. احنا عنه يَوْمَ يَتَذَكَّرُ الْإِنسَانُ مَا سَعَى. ما تجيبه هنا اعمل له بيبي ستر وانت روح ارتاح شوي. روح ارتاح شوي. وَبُرِّزَتِ الْجَحِيمُ لِمَنْ يَرَى فَأَمَّا مَنْ طَغَى وآثر الحياة الدنيا فإن الجحيم هي المأوى وأما من خاف مقام ربه ونهى النفس عن الهوى فإن الجنة هي المأوى. فَإِذَا جَاءَتِ الطَّامَّةُ الْكُبْرَى, which is the hour. Allah call it الطَّامَّة because it's so serious, a big serious disaster. الْكُبْرَى, nothing similar to it before. الْكُبْرَى, that means greater than anything, any disaster or any calamity that you ever heard or saw before. يَوْمَ يَتَذَكَّرُ الْإِنسَانُ مَا سَعَى. A person will remember everything. When is the tamma, al-kubra will come. The day when the person will remember what he had achieved, what he did, his deed that he did in this dunya, he will remember it, he will find it written in a book that you will be able to read it your own self. As Allah said in Surah Al-Isra, وَنُخْرِجُ لَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ كِتَابًا يَلْقَاهُ مَنْشُورًا اقْرَأْ كِتَابَكَ كَفَى بِنَفْسِكَ الْيَوْمَ عَلَيْكَ حَسِيبًا. Will bring out in the day of judgment a book which he will find it open. Read your book, sufficient witness against yourself. That means you yourself will be a sufficient witness against your own self. So when the person read it, yarhamukallah. So when the person read it, he will remember everything he did. Nowadays we forget about certain things that we did. Some of it which is good, some of it is not. We forgot most of it. But in the day of a judgment, it will be presented to you in a book. It will be said to you, read your own book, read it by your own self. You be enough witness against yourself. In this moment, the person will remember. The kafir will say,
ويقول الكافر يا ليتني كنت ترابا.
The kafir will say, I wish I would turn to dust. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said,
وبرزت الجحيم لمن يرى.
برزت, that mean brought forward, became so obvious. It will be brought, led by 70,000 bridal robe, with each robe 70,000 angels, as it came in the hadith, which in the collection of Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayh. In this moment, the hearts of the transgressor will be flying away, and the babies, the little kids, their hair will turn to be gray.
فَأَمَّا مَنْ طَغَى وَآثَرَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا.
This is two description of the people of hellfire: طغيان, which is transgression, gone beyond the limit. And the second quality of the people of Ahl al-Nar, people of hellfire, preferring the dunya over the akhirah. Both qualities goes together. Any person who transgresses, that means he prefers the temporary life. Any person who prefers the hereafter, as a result of this, prefers this temporary life over the hereafter, he will transgress. What is the limit of the human being? The limit of the human being been explained in the Quran.
وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ.
Indeed, I had created jinn and mankind for the sole purpose of worshipping me. Therefore, the one who transgressed, he didn't worship Allah, or he didn't worship Allah alone. This is the transgressor. This is the person who went beyond the limit. You are not being created to eat, to enjoy yourself like cattle, but you've been created for a purpose, which is worshipping Allah. So worship Allah alone. If you did not do so, indeed you had transgressed. The transgressor is the person not to carry the obligation, the ibadah of Allah.
وآثر الحياة الدنيا,
i.e. he prefer, he advance the life of this dunya over the obedience of Allah. Example, a person, he hears the adhan of dawn, morning prayer, he prefers sleeping over prayer. A person that you say to him, remember Allah, he will go and listen to lagu and listen to music and other things. So the person who transgresses and prefers the temporary life over the hereafter, what is the result? Allah is saying,
فَإِنَّ الْجَحِيمَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى,
i.e. his abode place, his home, his final place, the place that he will have a refuge, settle, where? Will be in Jahannam. We ask Allah to protect us all from it.
وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ,
i.e. the one who scare, afraid, fear the standing before Allah's hands, that because in the day of judgment Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question you about your sins, Allah will bring you in privacy and he said to you, you did such and such, you did such and such, as it came in the authentic hadith. So when the slave servant of Allah will admit his mistakes and his faults, Allah will say to him, قَدْ سَطَرْتُهَا عَلَيْكَ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَأَنَا أَغْفِرُهَا لَكَ الْيَوْمِ. Indeed, I had covered your sins and your faults in the dunya, and today I will forgive it for you. So those who fear Allah and the standing before Allah, and they hold their self to command you with the evil, nothing but evil. But there is other soul, which you call an-nafs al-mutma'inna, the comfortable soul, in tranquility, in ease. A person have three souls, or goes three levels. It can be in a time or with a soul which is mutma'inna. Your soul can be comfortable and can be in contentment, or can be ammara, that mean order you with the evil, or your soul will go to another level which lawama. Lawama means to admonish you about the bad that you're doing. All of them been mentioned in the Quran. As for al-mutma'inna, the one that in ease, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in Surah Al-Fajr, Ya ayyatuha an-nafsu al-mutma'inna, irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyya, fadukhuli fi ibadi, wadukhuli jannati. As for a nafs al-ammara, which commands the person to do the evil, this comes in Surah Yusuf alayhi salam, saying, وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي. As for an-nafs al-lawwama, it comes in Surah Al-Qiyamah. لا أقسم بيوم القيامة ولا أقسم بالنفس اللوامة. The Shaykh rahmatullahi alayhi Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen is saying, والإنسان يحس بنفسه بهذه الأنفس. A person will feel this levels or this situation in himself. Sometimes he see himself, his soul want to do good, and he love doing good, and he will do the good. Sometimes he see his soul in ease, in comfortable, and sometimes he see his soul towards evil, dragging him. And this is the soul which you call it an-nafs al-ammara min al-amr, that mean order, give you order. As for an-nafs al-lawama, it will admonish you when you do something wrong and make you feel bad about the disobedience of Allah. As for an-nafs al-lawama, that they want to admonish you, will admonish you about doing the good. Some of the people, his soul will be admonishing him, bothering him, why he's doing something good. Why are you going to the class? Why are you sitting with these good people? How I can sit with these people and leave my lust and leave my fun? Things like this. So al-lawama is a nafs which disturbs the person sometimes with the sin. And sometimes he has the nafs mutma'inna. And the person will go through these stages. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. Al-Jannah is Dar al-Na'im. Jannah will be the refuge for the people who fear Allah, the standing of before Allah, and he stopped himself from doing the wrong. Allah said the Jannah, paradise, will be the refuge, the abode place for him, which is a place of pleasure which Allah has prepared for his friends in it, which no eye had seen before, no ear had heard before, no human being can imagine. As it came in the Hadith al-Qudsi, that Allah is saying in the Hadith al-Qudsi, أعددت لعباد الصالحين ما لا عين رأت ولا أذن سمعت ولا خطر على قلب بشر. I had prepared for my righteous slave what no eye had seen before, no ear had heard before, no human being can imagine. This Jannah, the people will see it, feel it, taste it before even they die. When your time comes and the angels will come to take your soul, and they call your soul to come out of the body and say, اخرجي ايتها النفس المطمئنة الى رضوان رضوان الله. O godly soul, come out to the pleasure of Allah. And they will give the good news, وجنت your nafs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in the Quran in Surah An-Nahl, الذين تتوفاهم الملائكة طيبين يقولون سلام عليكم. So in the moment of death, the angels will give them the good news and will feel the pleasure of Jannah. As a result of this, the soul will come so easy. As a result of this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, من أحب لقاء الله أحب الله لقاءه ومن كره لقاء الله كره الله لقاءه. Whosoever loves the meeting with Allah, Allah will love to meet with him. And whosoever hates to meet with Allah, Allah will hate meeting him. Aisha said, O Prophet of Allah, all of us hate this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no, not this the meaning, Aisha. But when is the believer is been given the glad tidings, in the moment of death, he will love to meet with Allah. So, he will love to meet with Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will, he will love to die, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it easy on him. As for the kafir, the disbeliever, when he been given the bad news, in the moment of this, he will hate to meet with Allah, and his soul became disturbed and run away everywhere in the body. So the angels have no choice except to snatch it by force. And inshallah, we're going to make a stop here. We don't have too much really to go. Next class we'll be talking about the hour and the last few verses, and also we're going to see the people who had memorized Surah An-Nazi'at. Inshallah, will be the quiz Wednesday, if Allah extend our life, inshallah. Thank you for being here tonight, for listening. Jazakumullah khairan. And again is still getting another chance to memorize, another extension, and your deadline is Wednesday, inshallah, to get your prize by learning the whole surah with no single mistake. Any comment, any correction, any question? Mutma'inna, mutma'inna, that in ease, comfortable, contentment, okay, or please. Ammara, that means from Amr. Amr means to command. Ammara, telling the person, do this. Why are you going to the mosque? You understand? The air condition is not working there. Nothing but headache, you understand? And the imam always shouting and big voice and the class, and he keep you for a whole hour. And you see, stay home. Ammara, okay? Lawama. Lawama, which means admonish, tulum, min al-lawm, like admonishing you, okay? Like, it can be lawama in two different ways. Like, I give $10 fi sabilillah. Say, why? Why? You have more. You can, why you didn't give the whole 20? Why you so stingy? Give the whole 20, you see? Or can be lawama also in the other way. That, why you doing this? You don't have to do it. You gave, you understand, donation last month. Okay? So it can be admonishing you about the good deed, or can be admonishing you about the bad. What is the best out of all this? Is the mutma'inna. Okay? What comes between al-lawama? Especially if it admonish you, why you didn't go to the class tonight? You missed it. You shouldn't do it again, you see? Admonishing. So that means still the battery working, and you still have some iman working in you. But if your nafs became ammara, nothing but telling you do this bad, this is very bad. Okay? And the person can be elevated from ammara to lawama to mutma'inna. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the best, inshallah. The more that we purify our soul, the more our soul will, like a child, you understand, you teach him, now you don't say like this, you did bad words, you don't say it, you don't care, and now he says, excuse me, may I have this, you understand, thank you. So now we change from cursing and bad words, now he learn the good manner, you see. So the same thing, our soul is exposed to improvement. Alright? You can improve, let the soul, and this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said again Musa to Fir'aun and said to him, فَقُلْ هَلْ لَكَ إِلَىٰ أَنْ تَذَكَّى. Purify yourself. Get it from saying أَنَا رَبُّكُمْ الْأَعْلَىٰ to say I am Abdullah. Okay? So he came to purify his soul, to lift it from being in the mud to be among the people like, you understand, who worship Allah. But Fir'aun, he insisted to continue with what? To remain in the same stage with the same soul. We ask Allah to protect us all. Thank you very much. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Are you giving me a take one each or what?
I just left you several for that.